Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman, and Walker Wildman is here with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Back from Christmas vacation.
Yes, and the staff here is, would you call it a skeleton staff we have here?
Oh, yeah, we're down beyond the bones.
Huh? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. We have very few people here.
Yes.
Today.
We could hold our morning devotion this morning in a very small room.
Exactly. Exactly. Walker Wildman, Walker, what are we going to be doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page today, please?
Well, we are live streaming as we speak. We'll be live streaming the entire show there, so you can go to Today's Issues on Facebook and watch the show, comment, share your thoughts on the news stories, both good and bad. And then lastly, you can find a link to all the news stories that if you're more interested in the news that we talk about and you want to read beyond what we mention here, you can do so on the Today's Issues page.
By the way, I'm watching the Fox News feed live, and there's a fellow on there being interviewed who's wearing a bow tie, and the bow tie is wampy-jawed.
It is, isn't it?
And I want to reach up there in the screen and straighten it up for him. Does that make me, am I OCD?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Huh?
I mean, you're going to go on national television, your bow tie needs to be straight,
well, that's
right?
What I'm thinking. I'm glad he's off there because I really wanted to reach up there and stretch it and straighten it out. All right. We got much to talk about today on the program. We weren't with you, Monday we had music on Christmas Day. And yesterday we had a best of trivia. And so we're back live today for the first time since last week. So much has happened in the news. By the way, George Barna, the well-known pollster, and George Barna does excellent surveys of especially the Christian community. He's going to be with us at the bottom, 10:45 Central Time, and we're going to be discussing his latest findings, so you don't want to miss that. He's always got something interesting to share that he's found out. Fred, what is leading the news this morning?
Teeth chattering. That's what's leading the news. It's cold out there.
Yes, that's right. Borrow from Dean Martin.
My goodness. I was looking at a TV weather map this morning, and it's purple. The top two-thirds of the country is purple. And, I mean, that's really – you're talking single-digit temperatures.
Really?
Even in some places, that's the high. And you have blizzard conditions in Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie, Pennsylvania. They got 34 inches of snow, 34 inches of snow on Christmas Day. Then they got another 24.5 yesterday for a total of 62.9 inches of snow. City there
In a 48-hour period.
In a 48-hour period. The city up there has issued a snow emergency citing, dangerous and impassable roads. I mean, this winter, just according to the calendar, just got started, and we're having this kind of weather.
So what you're telling me, even for the winter-toughened people of the north, you throw 5 feet of snow at them,
that's catastrophic. It really is. I mean, when you hear, Fargo, North Dakota, it's cold. Fargo,
right? Exactly.
It's going to be cold. But I mean, when we're talking, you're getting down here into Tennessee and even at our home base here in Mississippi.
Right.
I mean, 17 degrees, we're just told, outside right now with the wind chill.
Oh, with the wind chill. Yeah.
17 degrees.
Yeah. But next Monday,
again,
here in Northeast Mississippi, which is, in the deep South, it's going to be a low of 10, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking if it's 10 here in Minnesota, it's probably going to be 20 below or something like that.
I tell you what, I was listening to a story on our network this morning, American Family News, and they were they were talking about the warning, like for pets. There are a lot of people who leave their pets outside,
yeah,
like overnight or whatever.
You can't do that when it gets
do
that
not
cold.
Do that.
No.
Do
Speaking
not.
Of that, I have a Labrador Retriever, and when it's 30, 40, 50 outside, he can sleep in my garage and stay warm. I got him a bed. But this past week, I got him a heater, and so I keep it on out there at night because it gets cold out there.
You're a nice doggo.
my wife, she'll walk. She acts like she doesn't like my dog because I got my dog.
Now, before y'all married.
Yeah, I've had my dog before we married, so she calls it her stepson. So, but she acts like, you know, she doesn't really love the dog because it's not really her dog, but she is so soft. She'll go outside to get something in her car in the carport, and she'll go, oh, he's cold. He's got to come inside. So
this is a dog that she really had no emotional attachment with nor wanted to.
But the mommy, but the now, mommy kicks in her.
I guess so.
Yeah, no. she has been smitten
by
the dog. It's hard not to be.
I got a 7-pound Maltese. He's a Maltese. He's a pit bull trapped inside a Maltese body. at least he thinks so when the squirrels come out in the backyard. You know, he think you're talking about a 7-pound dog now with nothing. He's nothing but hair. If you shaved him, he'd look like a rat probably. But he leaps from the chair at night off the patio to go. When he sees squirrels or I don't know, whatever kind of varmints in our backyard that the human eye can't see that dogs can. And so we got a gate out there. He can't get through it, but he goes right to the gate and is just barking his little 7-pound head off like, okay, you armadillo, you better be glad I can't get out of here because I'd tear you up. Get out of my yard. You know, you often wonder what would these dogs do, these little dogs do if they did catch the big animal,
That's
you
right.
know, because they act like they really want to run toward them.
They're
you know,
tough.
You're only holding them back. You better be glad my owner's holding me back, or, you know, I'd take you down, okay? All right, so anyway, I guess you're right. Your point is that with the cold weather, that people need to be aware of their pets, and most people are.
And more importantly, these are, sadly, this time of the year when it gets really cold like this, because there are folks who live, especially in larger cities, I'm talking, you know, Chicago and Minneapolis, they're having tough times many times with heating those buildings. They live in old buildings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're listening today and you're in that northern tier of the country, be watching out for folks.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Especially the seniors this time of the year. And having lived in Canada, the other thing is if you've got a senior couple living next door to you and you've had a lot of snow, go out and shovel their steps for them.
Yeah.
And make sure if there's ice there, you get some salt down on it.
That's a good point.
Because this is one of the worst times of the year. Seniors, many times they fall, break hips, all those sorts of things. So just be watching out for your neighbors. Because this is, you know, we laugh a little bit about cold weather here in the South. But when you get up there, you add the ice and the snow to this, and it sticks around a long time. Folks that need help, please help them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's going to get worse the next week.
It is. We're in a long stretch here, according to the weather forecasters, several days of this before there's any relief.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is it's going to be January.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now... Now, it's about time for a press statement from the global warming crowd. They usually have their convention.
Well, they changed it to climate change a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they had to.
Oh, yeah. Well, from the climate change crowd, it's about time for, you know, a press statement about the dire consequences of global warming.
Well, you're being sarcastic, and,
really?
And I would be,
too. Did you detect that?
I detect a little bit of it.
Okay.
But seriously, they will find any kind of abnormal or extreme weather.
Right.
They'll twist it, turn it somehow, like the wildfires out in California.
Yeah, they Jerry Brown bring that, yeah.
On climate change. So
yeah.
I would not be surprised if there was a press statement.
Well, we all know the reason they switched to climate change and they replaced global warming was so, as you say, Walker, any kind of weather calamity or problem, you can blame it on, quote, climate change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's very convenient. Mm-hmm. That way you're not challenged on just global warming. I do remember 10, 12, 15 years ago that the they would have these global warming conventions, you know, in January in Boston. And I'm going, who is the public relations director for these folks? Plan your press conference for Phoenix in August.
Right.
Okay?
There you go.
And invite all the media out and then talk about global warming. But anyway, it is going to be a serious situation. As you say, pets, seniors,
absolutely,
your neighbors, do what you can to look after.
Take care of one another.
Those folks.
Take care of one another.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, one other thing about the climate change / global warming is we want to, people want us to take snapshots of where it is they are at the time. And that's indicative of some kind of global
you
know, a global situation. And what we're about to experience here in the USA or in Canada, North America, is just wintertime.
Yep.
You know, it's just wintertime.
It's a little earlier than usual.
Yeah.
That's the only variance.
Yeah.
But
by the way, also turn your faucets on for those who have, especially older houses.
Yes. Let the water run.
Yeah.
Or have those little styrofoam things, the outdoor taps.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got those covered up.
Yeah. My wife said we got the new faucets they make, because our house is 2 years old, that they that you don't have to do that anymore. They're they're made.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're made.
They can handle that?
They can handle that, yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, not the Weather Channel, but it is headlining the news, the weather is.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues, Tim Walker and Fred. Next up, Fred.
Yeah, well, over the weekend it was announced that the United Nations budget is going to be cut by $285 million. Now, there's everybody's crying about that out there. Everybody's concerned about the United Nations.
I'm not.
I'm being sarcastic. I'm boring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your sarcastic line there.
He's taking off you.
Okay.
Yes. And this comes in the wake, of course, of the big news of the last several days when, you know, there was the vote in the United Nations denouncing President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And you will remember our ambassador to the United Nations, former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, warned in advance of the vote, we're taking names. Who votes against us? And I thought that was unprecedented. It really was, that kind of standing up for what is right, standing up for Israel, because ever since Nikki Haley became our ambassador, the United States ambassador of the United Nations, she's been a tough talker.
Yeah, she makes John Bolton look like a liberal.
She does. I've even referred to her as America's Maggie Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
She is one tough lady. I was reading about her, doing a little bit of research on her on the weekend. She comes from a Sikh family, East Indian Sikh family.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to the United States, and but she is now a Christian. She goes to a Methodist church, and very strong and outspoken Christian. And I'm just wondering if that's what's behind her strong stand for Israel. Is that and she's unapologetic, and so is President Trump. So and there's another story out there today, kind of in relation to that. They're thinking about building a train station near the Wailing Wall. And they're going to call it the Trump Station. That's what one lawmaker in Israel. And I just thought, I wonder how that's going to go over there.
You know, if you look down the list of President Trump, then candidate Trump's campaign promises, he's probably holding up better than any other president.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. And the list of accomplishments would be even longer if he had most Republicans behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Democrats aren't going to join with him. But, the first budget cut for the United Nations, $285 million. Also, with regards to proclaiming Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, several other countries are indicating they're going to do the same thing, move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Guatemala, some of these are smaller nations, but they're lining up to do the same thing. So an interesting movement right now in this country. And, you know, United Nations has been complained about for years, but nobody has done anything about it. They just continue to motor on and spend all kinds of money. But this president, President Trump, is actually doing something and saying, you know, I don't care what they do. They can vote against me. And the vote was overwhelming. I think there was only, 9 countries that voted against the resolution to criticize President Trump. And there were like 30, I think there were 30 countries
who withheld.
Well, so President Trump, through Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador, announced that there was going to be $285 million cut.
Yes.
From the UN budget that would otherwise be given to them by the U.S. government. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Correct. The United States is what, 22% of the UN budget?
Good.
We're the big giver.
Good. Well, we need them cut more if they continue on here.
They have a multi-billion-dollar budget.
Well,
we could cut a whole
lot
more.
Other countries fund it.
Absolutely.
You know, we're already hosting it there on the Hudson.
That's right.
New York City.
That's right.
So
that's right.
If they want to continue to be openly anti-Israel and anti-American.
Yep.
Then we have a right to determine how much money we want to give towards that effort. What do you have? Do you have a clip on something here?
Yeah, this is a story I believe that came up this morning, if I'm reading the right one. There was
We're changing topics now?
Yeah, we're changing topics. Okay. Governor Jerry Brown in California is in trouble with some folks because what he has done, there were two people illegal aliens in the country committed crimes, including the killing of a young man in California. Well, what Jerry Brown did was basically let them go, commute their sentence, did a pardon of these individuals. And the dad of a young man who was killed by one of these illegals was on the Fox Morning program this morning.
Fox and Friends.
And I believe this is the clip we're going to have of his reaction to Governor Jerry Brown just basically letting these illegal aliens go.
My son was a law student in San Francisco in 2010, and he was coming home from school late one afternoon, and Roberto Gallo, an illegal alien from Honduras, tried to make a last-second left-hand turn. They collided. My son was on a motorcycle. Instead of stopping, he accelerated, drove over his body. Helmet got stuck under his tire. He backed up, drove over him a second time, and then trying to flee, went forward again a third time. By that time, a guy had gotten out of his car, and he stopped with his rear tire on my son's abdomen.
The immigrants in question, you know, they were illegal, but California is a sanctuary state, and it's become a sanctuary state under Governor Brown. So what would you say to him in his protection of illegal immigrants with a sanctuary state? What would your message be to him?
Well, for those in California who know about his folly with our bullet train, I wish he would get on the bullet train first stop to and he should get off and stay there. His concern for criminals, be they legal or not, is outrageous and has cost the lives of many Californians, but he's terrible.
Well, there you have it. Another Governor Brown move there with regards to protecting illegal aliens and the sanctuary city issue, which President Trump is taking on. He wants to cut funds off to those cities that protect people who are in this country illegally. And, of course, number two is not cooperating with federal officials who say these people should be deported. But there's another incident of an illegal alien. You just heard the dad who lost a son here in that very tragic accident. Criminal activity by the illegal.
Yeah.
And Jerry Brown says, we're going to just Governor let you go
Brown.
Free.
Well, you know, that was sad and tragic.
Oh.
What was just described by that dad. He lost his son in that way. This is the fault of the people of California.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is their problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very, very liberal state. And they condone sanctuary. And I'm speaking broadly and generally.
Yes.
This kind of an attitude and this kind of a policy and approach that Governor Brown has expressed lines up with the California voter.
That's correct.
All right.
That's
so
right.
They want this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want it now, to the extent that they're inhibiting or violating federal law when it comes to immigration, then the federal government should do something as much as they can about this, both by denying funds and whether other legal ramifications they have at their disposal. But while I do have great sympathy for the father right there and his individual situation, as I do all people who are victims of crime committed by illegal immigrants, and by that mean we mean people who shouldn't even be here in the first place, and if they weren't here, these crimes would not have been committed.
That's right.
Okay? While I have sympathy for them on an individual basis, I have no sympathy for California because this is what they want. This is what they vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes you just wish that you could show the world what liberalism, what the results of liberalism really, really are. Maybe in an experiment, because what you have ultimately with California is a collapse.
Yeah.
Because if you had the policies of liberalism able to go unabated, in other words, what Californians want is open borders between Mexico right. or Central America and their state. That's what they want,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you allowed that to happen, there are U.S. border agents on the California border which prohibit this from happening to a large extent. I would say, I'm just thinking through this, but I wish you could take those border agents away and just say, okay, California, have it as you want it. Have open borders.
Yeah.
All right, and let's see the results of that.
And place the agents on the California
yes.
and other state borders
yes.
to keep them from
yes.
coming into the
If you could 48. Just say, well, keep these illegal people out of other states, but let them flood California,
yeah. mm-hmm.
then you would see the real ramifications, the real consequences of liberalism.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
And to a certain extent, you're having that happen.
That's true.
Not at the rate that would happen you're talking about, but it is happening. And even with the taxes, we saw this with the taxes, the tax cut bill.
Mm-hmm.
California and New York and a few others have very high taxes,
yes.
very high state and local taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a factor in the tax bill. That's why you had 20-something Republicans in the House vote against it. And that is because the deductions that Congress, for the most part, took away the state and local tax deductions from your income, federal income taxes.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that was a factor is because the high taxes in these states, and that's another thing but the good thing about the tax bill, though, is it'll hopefully make California and New York lower their taxes because their citizens are not very happy right now.
That's right.
Because they're actually going to have to pay some
mm-hmm.
in taxes. But that's liberal policies
right.
That's right.
working against the people of the state.
Yeah.
But they keep electing the people
right.
who raise the taxes.
But the voters agree with those liberal policies, which really will lead to their own self-destruction
mm-hmm.
In many ways, both business, community, you know,
yeah.
jobs. We already see what's happening. Now, California has the 10th. If you took California alone, I think this is still the case. They are the 10th largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
So it's still
mm-hmm.
enormously wealthy in terms of, you know,
mm-hmm.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they have natural resources. Almost.
But they're in such debt, though.
But yeah, but it's catching up with them. It's catching up with them.
Well, the cost of living out there. You get off the plane and you go.
That's true.
Drive your car and go to the gas station.
Right.
It's probably 30-40% higher gasoline prices out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all going.
The liberal policies are good until it affects you and your family.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
It's not good.
They are having a problem with businesses moving out of California for the reasons we've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going to Nevada and Arizona and mm-hmm. Texas
yeah.
and other places. And that's happening. We're going to be back with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check us out at Today's Issues Facebook page. Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show there. Comment on the program. We'll be back momentarily with more news and opinion after this.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our spiritual heritage tours fill up each year several months in advance, and we've got the dates now for our 2018 trips. There are two tours. There's one to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, and then there's a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where we'll explore early American history. Now, if you want information on these tours, simply go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Again, in June and September, you can go on one or you can go on both. They're back-to-back. We plan them that way. Again, June and September, Washington, D.C., and Williamsburg. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, and I hope to see you on one of our spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. CNN is suggesting President Trump is using the phrase Merry Christmas as a dog whistle. One host said the holiday greeting could be code for white nationalism, white supremacy. Newsweek even published an essay titled How Trump and the Nazis Stole Christmas to Promote White Nationalism. It's a load of grade-A fertilizer, folks. But in reality, the mainstream media is the dog whistle, a dog whistle for race-baiting, anti-Trumpers, and in general, America-bashing pinheads. In recent years, the media and the secularists have tried to take the Christ out of Christmas. They wanted to make it more inclusive, and they did that by marginalizing the religious part of the holiday. So when President Trump promised to say Merry Christmas again, he was telling us that he understands the true meaning of Christmas. He understands the reason for the season, no matter what the folks over at CNN say. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It is the Wednesday edition of Today's Issues.
And check us out on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show live there if you want to. We appreciate everybody who does that and who comments on the program. And give us feedback and your opinion on the topics that we're discussing. Coming up in 12 minutes or so, pollster and surveyor.
And author, and generally
a great American. George Barna will be with us, and now he's a surveyor in the way that he questions people about their opinions, especially the Christian community. But he doesn't take an instrument and go out in fields and find out where the land line ends. Mm-hmm. He's not that kind of surveyor. Did you know that?
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified.
I just wanted to clarify. Clarify that. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News. Next topic, Fred.
Yeah, coming up, of course, 2018 is an election year in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And this will not come as breaking news to most folk. The mainstream media, I believe they have a strategy to do their very best to discredit President Trump and paint a country that is in a total mess. With that in mind, here is a story from Reuters News. Now, Reuters News is not a Christian news agency.
Or conservative.
All right. I want to read you the first line. They're reporting on the Christmas shopping season. All right.
Okay.
So this story just came out yesterday. Shares of U.S. department stores jumped on Tuesday, as MasterCard Inc. said shoppers spent over $800 billion dollars during the season, more than ever before, boosted by growing consumer confidence, rising employment, and early discounts. Now, what is Reuters saying? People are optimistic after 11 months of the presidency of Donald Trump. We all know what has happened. How many times was it? Over 70 times records broken on the stock market, all right? Mm-hmm. So what they're saying is that people were really confident about the economic future of this country because of what President Trump has been doing, so much so that they went out and they spent records amount of money on shopping this Christmas season. We also know, and we've been tracking this for several months now, the government puts out stats on employment stats, consumer confidence, trade deficit. All these things are all positive. And yet, if you listen to the mainstream media, there is chaos in this country. There is, and people writing like Juan Williams, he's one of the liberal commentators on Fox News. He wrote an editorial that's on the front page of Fox this morning. He's one of those. He's out there saying this tax reform is just for big business, just for rich people. And in fact, let me read you a few lines from his little editorial. With his, referring to Donald Trump's tax plan, now signed into law, the curtains are finally pulled back on the Wizard of Trump Tower. Voters can see that he has handed tax cuts to the very rich, the top 1%, and shareholders of large corporations, not the middle class or the poor. Now, wait a minute. People last, if you were just watching one newscast last week and got the details on tax reform, people are going to start to see more take-home pay in February because the new tax reductions are going to start to play in. In other words, your employer, they are going to understand that the tax rate, the federal tax rate, is going down. That means you clear. You'll take $50 more home per paycheck every 2 weeks or whatever the case may be. Furthermore, there's the child tax credit. That has been doubled from $1,000 to $2,000. So if you're a family of three kids under 17, instead of a $3,000 deduction on when you go to do your taxes, now this will be in for the coming year, it'll be $6,000. And then for those who don't pay any taxes, there's still this child-type tax credit, and it's going from $1,100 to $1,400 per child. This all benefits the middle class and the poor. So what is Juan Williams talking about? It's a bold-faced lie. Mm-hmm. But you're going to hear this, folks, over and over and over again. They are depending on people who really don't dig into even the minimal amount of details on what tax reform is going to be. But you know what? When you didn't have a job a year and a half ago and now you have a job, you're part of those employment stats, you finally got a job. If you're in, there's a story out there this morning from Sandy Hook, Kentucky, which is, and they call themselves Democrats there, but they all voted for Donald Trump in the last election. You want to know why? Because he said he was going to bring back coal in this country. Mm-hmm. And has a fuel base. We got lots of coal in the ground here. Some estimates like our 100 years worth of coal. We're going to bring it back. That doesn't mean it's replacing oil, but we're not going to waste the resource that's in the ground. And we're going to bring jobs back to those people. So I'll tell you what, the election campaign is underway for 2018. It's underway right now. And the left, with the help of the mainstream media, which is far left, is going to do their very best to paint a disaster out there. But, you know, the people on the ground are going to know different. They're going to see more in their take-home checks. Mm. They're going to see more money. And that's going to benefit everybody. It's going to be an amazing year. You're going to have to be very careful where you get your news, folks. That's all I can say, because the lie is going to be out there big and bold.
Mm. Well, historically, the party in opposition to the White House gains seats on an off-year election. By that's off-year, right. I mean between presidential elections. So that's the norm. Mm-hmm. Now, What will happen in November remains to be seen. Obviously, a lot depends on what happens between now and November. I do think that the Democrats are worried. They may not say this, but they're worried that the economy is going to continue to do well, and they're worried that the tax cuts that were passed and the deregulation that the president has initiated through his administration will help the American economy and the workers and jobs. And if that all happens, that makes it harder for them to beat President Trump and the Republicans in November. Mm-hmm. It makes it much more difficult for them to do that because they can't say, hey, the economy's going in the tank. You've got to elect us.
We're
Democrat.
In debt. We're in $20 trillion of debt. That's become a new talking point for the Democrats. The reason they didn't want tax cuts is because of the deficit.
Are deficit hawks now?
Yeah. Yeah, they're deficit hawks.
Even though their president, Barack Obama, added $10 trillion.
Yeah. Now, that's about no... You got the credibility meter for politicians in Washington?
How low is it?
Well, I'm just saying the Republicans aren't always that high either.
Right.
But for the Democrats to say anything about the debt after $10 trillion was added on the Obama watch in 8 years, mm-hmm. we went from $10 trillion and $20 trillion in debt. For them to now say they're worried about the debt rising,
that
doesn't even register. The meter doesn't even move on the credibility.
You know, Fred, so. I think you're right. There is a segment of the Democratic electorate that no matter what happens, good or bad, mm-hmm. Republicans are bad. They're racist. They're bigots. They want to bring the country down, and that's true no matter what, no matter who gets what kind of taxes back. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's your middle ground people, like the folks in Kentucky, that on the top of their list when it comes to election time is probably the economy, national security, you know, some middle ground issues. And so I think that President Trump over time is going to win over probably those traditional Democrats that aren't uber liberals, but they're kind of in the middle. Don't really care about social issues. They care about the economy and national security. President Trump, the Republican Party, hopefully over time will win them over with this tax cut and other things.
You know, I think when the history books are written of this period, and the honest history books are written of this period, Donald Trump is going to be a president like no other. You know, remember just before the Alabama special election a few weeks ago, President Trump held a rally down in Pensacola, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Packed out, people waiting outside. Now, the election campaign of 2016 is over because we know the kind of crowds he was getting. He is resonating. He is resonating with those people who live between New York City and San Francisco. And his policies are helping those individuals. I really do believe that the reason he took this job, I really do believe he loves this country and he's trying to help people who have been hurt by the left-wing policies, the socialist policies that have been paramount by other parties prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
He is resonating, and I, you know, they love his Twitter, even though Barack Obama was interviewed by the BBC this morning, and he was advising leaders that they shouldn't use social media. That's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
Even though he has a
and
Twitter
and Facebook
account.
Donald Trump took that into account.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, There are times I think that President Trump, you know, somebody needs to take the phone away so he doesn't tweet. But you take that with the good. And
yes.
The good part about him using Twitter, for example, is that President Trump has decided he will fight back
mm-hmm.
against what he perceives or what he thinks are unfair.
Yeah.
Media bias,
fake news,
and so what he's done is decided to go straight to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go straight to the people and bypass the media doesn't like that. Number one, but number two, you get President Trump. He's not the kind of person who's going to you know do a focus group with even his own staff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Before he decides at 5:30 in the morning what he's going to fire off.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, on one hand,
mm-hmm.
that's good. And on the other hand, that's not good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and I think most Americans have come to the place where they say, well, that's who he is.
Trump being Trump.
It's Trump being Trump, and we just take it for what it is. And it's his thoughts at that moment about something that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can watch the show if you'd like to at our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook. You can comment on the program there as well. Walker is posting the stories that we are discussing on the show today. And so check that out. You can also send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And you can download the app for American Family Radio. The app is available, and you can download that in under a minute most times and listen to AFR on your phone or your iPad or similar device anywhere in the world. Just all you need is a high-speed internet connection. Well, joining us now from, I'm not sure where George is today, but George Barna is with us, and he got a new poll to discuss that I found very interesting having to do with patriotism. And George joins us now. George, good morning to you.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Doing well, brother. Appreciate you being on with us. You've been based out of California for a long time. Is that where you still are?
Socialist Republic of California. Okay. Here we are.
Okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, we talked about you guys about half an hour ago. The American Culture and Faith Institute is your organization. Tell us about, for those who don't know, what you guys do.
Yeah, we're a division of an organization, nonprofit group called United in Purpose, and the American Culture and Faith Institute conducts national research surveys on a regular basis, trying to understand what's going on in the culture and how we can bring biblical principles back to the forefront of what this country is all about. So in order to do that, we try to understand people's attitudes, values, beliefs, study their behaviors, so that we can interact with them more effectively toward bringing us back to the kinds of things that are really on the go.
Hey, before we get into this latest survey that you've done here, again, we're talking to George Barna of the American Culture and Faith Institute. I'm just curious about California. You know, you lived there a long time. If you were to take away San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, and I know that's taken away half the state's population probably, so it's kind of hard to say dismiss that. But if you were to leave those ultra liberal areas, is the rest of California more moderate, more conservative, or not?
Yeah, there are actually places here that are among some of the most conservative areas in the entire country. They're obviously much smaller than the three major cities that you've identified. But, yeah, there really is a battle that's taking place here in the state. We're outnumbered partly because our governor has declared us a sanctuary state, so we have all kinds of, immigration issues that we have to wrestle with. But, yeah, there are a number of conservatives here. And, it's something that my family and I have wrestled with. Why would we stay here when there are so many other states that have people that think like I do, and it's a much smaller population here that does that? Well, because you don't want to give up the territory where there's a fight going on. If all the soldiers leave the battlefront, you're going to lose that territory. And I don't know that that's God's strategy. So
yeah,
we've chosen to stay. For
well, brother, God bless your attitude. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say. That is a very positive outlook on California. Sarcasm meter, reading 9 right now, reading 9 out of 10. All right, good attitude, George. Let's talk about your latest survey by the American Culture and Faith Institute having to do with patriotism. Talk about what you found.
Yeah, essentially what we discovered is that Americans have been getting beaten up by the news and media, for years and years about all the problems with America and why it's not good to be American. And it's taken a toll. We're at a place right now where only 59% of Americans, that's about 6 out of 10, would say they're either extremely or very patriotic. Most Americans believe that patriotism is on the decline. And we ask people what they think patriotism is and what are important elements of it. And so we found, for instance, that certain things like the American flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, those kinds of symbols of what America is about, is very much revered by conservatives, by born-again Christians, but they're essentially ignored by liberals, by religious skeptics, by people of non-Christian faiths. And all throughout the survey, when we ask people, you know, what is a what are the elements that define patriotism, you know, whether it has to do with individual rights coming with personal responsibilities, feeling proud to be an American, believing in and obeying the Constitution, those kinds of things. Again, it was the conservatives and the Christians, the devoted Christians, who were very gung-ho on those items. And it was the less religious people and the liberals who said, no, that really doesn't have as much to do with patriotism as making sure that the government is serving my needs. So there's this major split in the country, even on something as basic as what it means to be a patriot. And once again, it may be that the left is trying to take over that language and redefine it as they have with so many other terms.
George, it's Fred Jackson here. What role, in your opinion, what role has the education system played in this, in reducing the number of people who value patriotism?
Well, you know, Fred, it's got to play a very significant role. I mean, when you look at what our children are being taught about the nation's history, with the rewriting of so much of our history, with ignoring so much of what's actually taken place, with teachers telling children that, you know, America is not the greatest country in the world, that it has all kinds of issues, and focusing on those things. When the schools do not respect the flag, they don't teach kids the Pledge of Allegiance in many cases, we don't sing the national anthem. I mean, when we keep removing our children from these touchstones of what America is all about, and then you add to that, we don't teach them the Constitution, we don't teach them the Bill of Rights, we don't teach them the Declaration of Independence, you know, we take out little bits and pieces that fit a different kind of narrative. Yeah, I mean, the schools are having a big impact. And that's why in the news release we put out, one of the things I said is, you know, churches and families have to stand up and do what they can to teach coming generations what America is really all about. If the schools aren't going to do it, if the government is putting a different kind of spin on it, it really comes back to churches and families to stand up for the nation.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
George, how much, I know you mentioned earlier that, you know, the Christians across the country and conservatives get pounded over the head about how bad America is the past 8 years. How much effect, and you may not have any research on this, but in your opinion, how much effect does the media have on changing the outlook or the minds of most of the electorate in America?
Yeah, actually, we've done a fair amount of research on that. And previously, when I was at the Barna Group, we did a lot there as well. What we discovered is that there are three dominant influences on what people think. And what you think matters because that determines what you do. So the three dominant influences were family, government, and media, and not in that order. Media by far had the biggest impact of any of those three influence entities. Now, media is a big term. It covers a lot of different influencers. You know, you think about radio, television, books, magazines, and videos, social media. I mean, it's a pretty significant list. But it has a very dramatic say in terms of what we believe reality is. Think about all the things that you and I have opinions about. A lot of those things you and I have never personally experienced. We've only heard about them because the media have told us about them. And so naturally, the perspective that we embrace is the narrative that we've been taught by the media. And as Mr. Trump has helped us understand, and many others before him and in addition to him have shown us through research, through anecdotes and so forth, there's a lot of what's been called fake news. that's taught to us as if it's reality. So, yeah, the media have a very dramatic impact. And that's why one of the things that I again, often encourage Christians to think about as parents is, what if God has given your child or children the skills and the gifts to go into the media field? That's a mission field. What you folks are doing at AFA Radio, this is a mission field. You're doing a great work for the kingdom. And so the more people that we can get who love Christ, who want to obey his principles, and take those principles into every dimension of the world, whether it's radio or TV or journalism or even government, I mean, whatever it may be, that's part of our calling, is to influence in a positive way for Christ every dimension of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Walker, don't ever say to George Barna, you probably haven't done a survey on this.
He's probably done a survey on everything, huh?
Yes. And it's an insult to the man.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't ever say that again, please.
Sorry, George.
Yeah.
But Happy New Year.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. George, what's your website and what's there?
If people go to culturefaith.com, they're going to find all the research we've been doing over the last few years regarding what's going on in our culture and some of the ideas that we and others have had about how we can move the culture back toward being a more God-honoring place. And, boy, I'll tell you what, if I had a wish for 2018, it would be that Christians would get on their knees and pray to God for guidance and strength and the resources to turn this country around for his glory.
George, we got 2 minutes left here. Related to what you're talking about, there is a divide in America, and you found this out with your survey statistics on patriotism. Half of the country, it seems like, maybe it's less than this, though, you know, they approve of things like protesting during the national anthem, for example. And the other half or more of us are appalled by that. And it's not that we don't acknowledge that there are problems in America, and you know what, there's going to be problems in America 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, but you know, that's why I've said these guys kneeling in the NFL, which has cost them a lot of money, by the way, and probably going to cost them more. I'm talking by they, I mean the NFL owners and the NFL itself. if their standard for protesting is something happens in the news, then something's going to happen next week or next month, and it's going to happen over and over again, because you can always highlight some kind of perceived or real social injustice at some place in the country that's supposed to be representative of how bad America is. Why don't liberals, why aren't they, these people able to celebrate the fundamental goodness of America? George, why do they always have to be protesting?
They have a completely different worldview, Tim. I mean, their perspective is that really government needs to be in charge of our lives. And that's the antithesis what our forefathers came to America to put into place. And the other side of that coin is, while the survey found that 7 out of 10 Americans acknowledge that there's a culture war going on, we found that liberals are more than twice as likely as conservatives to say that they're willing to fight for what they believe.
Yeah.
And so we get conservatives not just to be willing to talk about it and say, yeah, they shouldn't be doing that. We've got to realize these are people who want another civil war. That was another part of the survey.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a desperate time.
Well, thank you, George. Appreciate your work. God bless you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. That's George Barna joining us from the People's Republic of California. Is that what he called it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. They're to the left of Russia, I think. But anyway, hey, he said there's still pockets of sanity.
There is.
Orange County.
Sanity out there in California. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.